Think today's mortgage process is complicated and stressful?
Uh-huh.
You're right. It is. But it doesn't have to be.
Nice.
This is the House Rich Podcast, and we've simplified the mortgage process. Your host, Matt Parker, a.k.a. Mortgage Matt, delivers practical advice in a fun and entertaining way to help you understand your mortgage so that you can start making money, not the bank. So let's get your homeownership journey started. Here's your host, Matt Parker.
Matt Parker here. Grateful to have Andrew Rushaway with me. Andrew, thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here, my friend. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, looking forward to getting your insight in the market and your expertise. And I like to start off in a fun way. I'm just curious, what's one thing not many people know about you?
Well, some people know about it, but en masse, I would say that's probably a little obscure, but two of my favorite sports to watch are arm wrestling and sumo wrestling.
I love that.
Professional arm wrestling and sumo wrestling. Sumo is like the national sport in Japan, and they still covet. It's like a part of a very long tradition there. Mm-hmm. So those are when I need to totally, like when I need to decompress and get away from everything, I'll just watch sumo wrestling watch arm wrestling.
Yeah. Do you have a special channel for that, or where would you tune into this?
YouTube now, man. YouTube has got everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right? Very cool. Interesting. Yeah. Where have you always enjoyed watching sumo wrestling, or how did you get into that?
I've been training martial arts since I was like a teenager. And so combat sports have always been something that I was interested in. And then just years ago, I'm losing track of time, but it's like probably like 2012 or 13, 14 or something. A&E had a TV show called, like a reality show called Game of Arms. And it was all about these professional arm wrestlers in the States. That turned me on to the arm wrestling. And then in the martial arts, there was the epitome, the highest ranking sumo wrestlers called a Yokozuna. And there was a Yokozuna who was like an unbelievable character, and just like this, just destroyed, crushed people. He went through like six tournaments in a row where he just was like creamed everybody. And someone was like, you got to see this guy, you know, this was in our martial arts sort of circle. And we were like, sumo, right? We knew about sumo, but we didn't think too much about it as like a practical thing, but we were intrigued by this guy. And it was just like, he's a Mongolian sumo wrestler named Asa Shoryu. And he's like the strongest person I've ever seen in my entire life. And I just became enamored with him. And then I started to progress. And then they have a tournament every 2 months there. So six tournaments per year. And tournament month is like a big deal in the town that they have the tournament. So it's like in Japan, like tournament time is huge. So I watch sumo tournaments now when I want to just like turn my brain off. It's 15 days. Every day you fight a match, and then the person who wins the most matches wins the championship.
Oh, interesting. Well, thank you for sharing. I would say that is quite unique.
And yeah, way off of the real estate topic, but I mean, real estate's crazy. So you got to have something, you know, to disconnect with.
Yes.
Just takes your mind off of it.
So then back to, how did you get into real estate? When did you start, and how did you get drawn into it?
In about 2010, I came to Victoria. I'm originally from Victoria. Well, I was born in Vancouver, but I grew up in Victoria and the Cowichan Valley for most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2010, a friend of mine had bought out his partners at a restaurant in town and kind of asked me to come in. And I'd been trying to find a way back into Victoria. It was very difficult to get into the restaurant scene here unless you had an inn. Even if you have like a world-class resume like mine, like I worked in Whistler for a very, very long time and just did, I've got my red seal and all that kind of stuff. And it just was like at the end of its time, like my time in the restaurant business was over and I wanted to start a family and I wanted to have a different lifestyle. And so I just retired and I took my real estate course. I had rented an apartment from my first managing broker, Rob Angus, at Address Realty. And his office was in the building. And we just became friendly. You know, he's a cool guy. I still like him. We still chat every once in a while. And I just was like, a few people said, you know, Andrew, you should think about going into real estate. You've got a very outgoing personality. You know, I, you know, and you're very keen and enterprising. And, you know, like I get my teeth sunk in on something and I don't let it go. And I just like, I pursue things to the nth degree. So I just talked with Rob and he was like, yeah, you know, why don't you get your license and talk to me when you're close to being done and we can get you started. And then 6 months down the road, I took a little bit of time off, did my license and then got, or did my course, did my licensing. And then I was off to the races. And the most important person that I met in real estate was my really good friend, Mike Chuby, who was already well established and just needed someone like a warm body to do a small development. And we just started working together and I got to know the business through my dealings with Mike. And, you know, he really gave me a head start in my career and, you know, connected me with a lot of really great people. And I've just been growing since then.
Oh, cool. That's it. I always find it interesting how everyone finds their path, right? And gets into the industry. Because I grew up around mortgages, so it was like I saw the path. I guess at a young age, it was the, you know, the simple path as well, if you want to think about it. But it was, you know, I find it fascinating how everyone else finds their way in that maybe didn't grow up around it. Because I know there is that second generation in real estate as well. But that's a great story. Thank you for that. And I know that, you know, in what you do, it's day in and day out. It can be a bit, let's say, of a grind, right? You got to get up, you got to do the work, and there's a lot involved, and it's a very, you know, demanding thing to do. What do you love about it? What sort of gets you up and get moving every day when you get to work?
The money.
Ha
It's just I would say, I mean, obviously the money is great. You know, since I got into real estate, it changed my whole lifestyle. And I'm a very
Yes.
modest person. Like we have a very modest home and we live a very modest lifestyle. And I don't do a huge volume of business. But what I do is like now, I would say it's just evolved so much over the years. And I don't really have anything specifically that like about it that gets me super jazzed up. But all I would say is like all around, I just kind of nerd out on certain aspects of real estate. And real estate is, you know, like we're part of a grid. So just like a segue a little bit, my dad's a retired government relations consultant. And
Okay.
so talk about second generation. My dad used to work from the house before the people work from home. And, you know, my dad, he was an agent for private enterprise and he would connect them with public enterprise. So my dad's specialty was regional affairs within the, you know, Union of BC municipalities. And then he had some federal stuff that he did as well. So, like, I'm no stranger to this kind of like the ebb and flow of the business activity. So it was something that I grew up around where my dad had a lot of flexibility and he was working all the time. And he still was connected to the government sector. So he still had, you know, a lot of free time on weekends and sat on like summers and pardon me. But for me, I learned how government works at an early age. And housing is a really interesting infrastructure because it's theoretical, but it's also physical. You know, so we're actually like, we're on a grid. Each one of our municipalities is connected here in Victoria, anyway, to the Capital Regional District. And we're governed and, you know, legislated on how all these things work, right? So I think it's really interesting how everything's tied together, like power, water, sewer, you know, how they're trying to, like, you know, building science continues to become more and more advanced, and the type of housing that we have available becomes more and more refined. You know, it just there's so many things about it is where you go, okay, when you buy a brand new home, people just go like, yeah, I'm buying a brand new house. This is going to be great. And then you explain to them this process and then they go like, oh, geez, I didn't know that. And I think if I was to say something that I really get charged up about is like providing high levels of service to people and like giving them what they didn't even realize they should be expecting. Because I think in real estate, there's this like, it's not congruent with other industries where it's like, oh yeah, you know what to expect, but every single realtor approaches their business in a different way. And you know, you think about how many realtors are in Victoria. Right now, I think it's 1,600. And then you do the 80-20 rule. 20% of the realtors are doing 80% of the business. And you start, you know, filtering down the numbers and you go, how interesting it is that there's so many different approaches to the same thing. And if you play your cards right, you can do things, you know, the way that you want to do them instead of just sort of like being part of the rat race. So I just nerd out about the whole thing. And so when you have someone in your process and you're able to like give them very clear and concise service and then like they're pleased. I think that's like the number one thing about it is like when you get started, you know, like if you start on the right foot, it gives you a leg up the whole process and then you have a like a higher probability of creating like a really positive outcome instead of kind of approaching it from a stressful like place of anxiety where you're going like I don't know what to expect and this and that, the other thing. And so that's been really jazzing me up recently is going like, okay, after everything that's happened over this last number of years, you know, there was some real like negative attributes to it. But one of the positives is I pulled out and I went, you know what? I know 100% what I got to do. And every day I work on improving my process a little bit more here and there. And it's really great to get that feedback from people where they go, you know, so I, you know, the new rules in BC are what they are. And so you have to introduce agency to them at an early stage. And I had a new client, you know, I said to her, I said, yeah, you don't have to sign any of these documents. You just need to be made aware. You can choose who you want to work with. If you choose to work with me, I'll make you sign them at the appropriate time. And she just was like, thanks, Andrew. I really appreciate that. You know, I won't be pursuing any other person to assist me. I'm really impressed with your service over these last couple of weeks, just getting me prepared. And so she said, yep. And I know exactly where she's at in the process. So I was able to go, great. You know, I have a CR, we have a CRM that we work with. And so I was able to like put all the information in there, set reminders, and she's on a plan now. Right. So like that was a long-winded response, but it's like there's not one thing specifically, is I just think that's like I'm a very process-oriented person. And it really gets me jazzed up to go like how you can create less work for yourself and your clients by having a really slick process. And
Yes.
then by virtue
Well,
of that.
and like what you said is, well, like a lot of people that are with companies or not in our industries don't understand. It's like you do everything. It's like you are the business, right? You're encompassing all of these different roles and hats that need to be done to operate the business. There are teams and things like that out there that obviously allocate and delegate and things like that. But for the most part, a lot of us are doing most of it ourselves, right? So it's learning, always learning something new. And I think it's like when it comes to client care and customer service, it's waking up, it's like, how can I be of maximum usefulness or service today to make my client's life better, my referral partner's life better, you know, things like that. And that's sort of the mission I like to, I think that's what keeps, because I like for me, it's like I grew up around this. I've been doing it for over 15 years. So I've seen a lot of mortgages. Mortgages as a whole aren't that exciting. But if I can get up and add value to someone's day today, I think that's the that'll keep me moving in the right direction.
Yeah, perfectly articulated. I think that at this stage of my career, that's the big thing now where I go, you know, my food service background really instilled that level of customer service on it where I was, you know, fiercely committed to that process, making sure that every single dinner service was executed a certain way so that the plates were identical to the ones that we put out the night before and that the next day they were going to be identical. And just that process, to me, everything, because of my background in the restaurant business, I just equate everything to my experience as a chef, you know, and like everything that I do is like, I just see it all being the same stuff. And I struggled for several years, you know, it for the first 5 years anyway, coming to terms with like that I was still in the service industry, right? And I know that a lot of people have their own take on it. And so, sometimes it takes a little bit of time. You know, we have some newer agents in my office and we were kind of talking about, you know, one of them was talking about like, should she set up a website? And I just brought up a couple of pieces of insight with some of my colleagues. And I was like, you know, for you, and I remember myself, when you're new to the industry, it's kind of like being in high school and you're just trying to figure out your identity. Like, what am I?
Yes.
And like, am I a goth? You know, am I a jock? Am I going to do sports? Am I going to smoke dope? You know, like in the real estate business, you kind of go like, you know, what am I going to be good at? Should I focus on condo sales? Should I go after the high-end market? You know, should I just blanket this? Should I do new development sales? You know, everyone kind of flirts with a bunch of stuff. And I did. Like I went down lots of different avenues. And when I had an epiphany one year, there was Chris Gill, one of the owners at the condo group. You know, he was recommending that we, you know, just, you know, enrich our business minds with some podcasts. And there was a guy named, oh God, his name is Andy Frizzoli or something like that. He's a very successful guy, and his business is vitamin supplements,
Okay.
and he's got a really thriving business. He does his podcast. He's just like me. He's foul mouth, over the top, just totally obnoxious, talk, talk, talk. But his whole manner is all about delivering high level customer service. And after I listened to this guy's podcast for, you know, a couple of weeks, I was just like, holy Christ, I'm not cutting the mustard here. You know, like my level of service is no good. I gotta get up to speed. And that's what totally changed my perspective on everything. And I was committed at that point moving forward to go, every little detail that I do has got to be done to the best of my ability. And I've really got to up my game. And I really saw a difference in my overall business once that happened. And customer service, you know, like client care, putting them first. You know, if you can do that, you know, like you don't have any excuses. There's no stone left unturned. And at the end of the transaction, one of the things I always look at is you go, everyone's happy when everyone's happy. When everything goes according to plan, great. Everyone gets to pat themselves on the back. Everything that I do is to make sure if something goes wrong, that everybody is, you know, in line and like that we're not going backwards. And it doesn't happen very often, but I'm sure you've been there before where something goes wrong and you go, I don't have any fears on my part because I have a very well documented process and I gave everyone excellent service and we'll be able to support our clients through this difficult time. So that's one of those things. There's the customer service side of things. I think it's overlooked right across the board. But in real estate, I think that sometimes you get complacent when you're successful and your clients are following you around, which is great and all, but I just don't see it that way. I see it being a back and forth. You know, you follow the leader a little while. Sometimes your clients want to take the charge and you support them through that. You don't go against them to say, oh, no, I'm in charge of this. You know, you give your clients what they need. Sometimes they tell you, sometimes you figure it out by paying attention and asking the right questions. And sometimes they want to follow, and sometimes they want to lead, and sometimes it's kind of a little bit of both. But customer service, you know,
Yeah.
that's just been that totally put me in the right direction a number of
Cool.
years back.
Love it. Love it. I think that's what it comes down to, is how do I make this experience, I think, as stress-free as possible in a very stressful, demanding point in time in most people's lives, which is moving, getting a mortgage, all these different things that could be high stress, right? So, I mean, back to the market today. So we're sort of mid 2023. Ups and downs over the last little while, right? We've seen, we could talk about a lot of different things, but it seems as though I'd love to get your insight in your market and in the Victoria market and around surrounding areas on any advice you have. But from what I understand from my talks with in the is there's just still lack of inventory. So there's a lack of supply. We just had a, you know, another rate increase. Not a significant one, but still enough that it's probably in the back of people's minds or forefront more so now than it has been in a few months. And, you know, rising fixed rate mortgages again. Any advice for anyone that's thinking about either selling or actually, you know, looking to sell and buy another property or get into the market for the first time? Any guidance that you would give in this market that we're in right now? Obviously, not knowing where things go, where it's a very uncertain time economically and all of these different factors. But how do you generally advise clients that are questionable or are on the fence of should I get in the market or should I wait?
Oh man, great question. Yeah. you know, going back to my first managing broker, Rob Angus said to me, he says, Andrew, do you know when the market bottoms out? Do you know how you can tell when the market bottoms out? You know, and it's somewhat of a rhetorical question, but like, I'll put it to you, Matt, when do you know the market's bottomed out? You've hit rock bottom. How do you know that?
I don't think you ever know.
The prices go up again.
Okay. Okay. Right?
So you never know when it hits the bottom. You know when it hit the bottom.
Yes.
And you're, okay. You know, it's always past tense.
The
so
bottom,
that's
then.
Advice.
Yes.
So yeah, you see the bottom. Yes. Or the day after you go, yes. Oh geez, well, that was the bottom. I just missed out on that opportunity to buy at the low end. And then it starts to rise up again. And so I kind of use that as a stepping stone for folks, because I like to give people the information about like what's going on at hand and how it applies to them directly, because there is no good or bad time to do anything. Is you just have to like make a plan, be prepared, mm-hmm. educate yourself, create awareness, and take action. So I know a lot of people, they're on the fence, and it's very simple. Is I just recommend that they get off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just make it really simple for everyone. And that would be my suggestion, is going, listen, you've got a 3-month window, essentially. If we were to look at this from a standpoint of like approvals, so you got 90 to 120 days to make something happen, or else you're subject to a rate change. Above or below, maybe waiting is a good opportunity for you to go like, oh, geez, we just took advantage of a little dip in interest rates or whatever changes. Sometimes time creates money, blah, blah, blah. But I just say like, listen, regardless of what's going to happen, get ready. Just get ready. And then you have all this power. You mm-hmm. have this power to make an informed decision to say, you know what? No. And I always tell people, it's like, hey, don't be shy. Make me do some work for you and then say no. And then we'll talk again in 6 to 12 months. And if I do that, I know that they'll say, hey, are you looking for, you're looking at real estate right now? I got to connect you with Andrew. He's like super great guy. He helped us and he was a straight shooter. So get yourself ready. Always be proactive. And the advice that I would give everyone is make sure that you consult with real estate professionals, whether it be someone like yourself or myself. And don't limit it to just one person. Take some time and meet a few people, get to know them, tell them about you, let the cat out of the bag, and create a relationship. You might find that that person is just like finishing your sentences for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might find out that that person is like a terrible fit for your situation. And you're so glad that you took the time to meet another person to give you a different perspective on the same subject. So proactivity, get ready, consult with everybody, and make a very high level informed decision instead of just kind of going like, oh, I feel nervous. You know, if you do it based out of fear and nerves and anxiety, you're most likely going to have a totally anxious and like stressful process. Mm-hmm. Like everything that transpired for my wife and I in our real estate purchases recently, they were all somewhat unexpected. And so the stress right now is ridiculous. And like, I do this all the time and I advise other people, but I say it to everybody. I go like, yeah, I can be subjective for myself and objective for you. When it's my money and my stuff, I'm freaking out.
Yes.
Right. And so I totally empathize.
We forget what it feels like personally sometimes.
I never do. Every time I deal with people, I go, listen, I freak out. So just get it out of the way. Freak out and panic. Just deal with it right now. But don't worry. We're going to make mm-hmm. a plan and put it into motion. And usually people feel mm-hmm. better, but it's as good as they're going to get because they're still, you know, they're still nervous.
It's a stressful time. It's a lot to
100%.
And like you said, it's like we can't. No one knows what rates will do. No one mm-hmm. knows what the economy will do. Like really. There's so much uncertainty. Economists get it wrong all the time, right? It's just, you know, all we can do is prepare and plan and be ready. And I love that because that's one of the things I tell clients off the beginning is let's have everything ready and prepare. And if it's now, great. If it's in a few months, great. If it's in X amount of time, that's great too. But you know that the numbers work. We know that, you know, here's what you want to achieve. And let's just get to a place where we can do that. Because the only time I've ever seen issues when it comes to financing a property is always around documentation, whether they didn't have it up front, it was missing a document, or, you know, something was incorrectly read, or they had bad advice, or something to that effect, right? Where if we do all of that up front and do the hard work now, it should be relatively smooth after the fact, right? It's just mm-hmm. it's just putting the work in to get to that place to be able to move forward. And especially in a market like this, where maybe you have to be more aggressive on an offer, or, you know, minimal subjects again, things like that, then doing the upfront work, I think, really positions people very well to be able to have success in a market like this. So, no, I love that what you said, because it's pretty much mirrors what I talk about with clients as well, is let's get to that place where, you know, we know the numbers and we can move forward confidently.
Yeah, 100%, right? And I just think you have to advise your clients well, you know, and the best advice to give people is to, like, you've taken this action, like, take a few more. Mm-hmm. You know, taking action, what it does is it leads you to the opportunities. And if you don't clear the way and clear the path for opportunities, the opportunities are muddled. You can't really see them. You know, there's too many things in the way. So if you, like you said, you get all those things out of the way, then the only thing they're thinking about is, like, which home is going to be the one for them, right? So early on in the stages, you go, like, listen, we're going to go out and see some properties, but we're not going to do it thinking that we're going to buy these properties. And I invite them to play a game. And I say, let's just pretend that we're on a real estate TV show, okay? And we're going to go out and we're going to see some properties, and we're going to criticize them, and we're going to balk at their choice in tiles and paints and all this other stuff, and we're going to be outrageous and prejudiced towards everyone. We're going to get it out of our system, and that way you'll know what you're dealing with, right? And in the background, you're getting all your ducks in a row with your mortgage broker. You are, you know, making sure that you've got all the stuff ready to go. Mm-hmm. You're looking at these properties and being critical of them so that you can figure out what it is you want for real. And then once that's done, sometimes that takes 3 weeks, sometimes it takes 3 months. But once they're done, you just go, like, listen, you're ready to go. Everything's documented. Everything's ready to rock. You're ready. And sometimes people just need to be told that they're ready, so that they can take that next step. Like, that action item is going, like, hey, now we're not going to go cruising for properties. We're going to go in there and we're going to be looking at these mm-hmm. properties and going, is this the one, you know, and how are we going to approach it? And so we have a really good process at my office that we sort of, like, it's somewhat universal, but each one of us, like, takes our own approach at it. But the main approach on it is, like, the methodology is going, hey, we need to be proactive. You need to be aware and educated about all these things mm-hmm. so that when the right property comes along, you have a clear path. You know, like, strata properties are the most complicated, like condos. And from a real estate standpoint, they pay the lowest commission because they're usually that, you know, on the lower end of the value spectrum. And then you've got to contend with strata documentation, and you have to understand the maintenance schedule of this building. And that's the biggest thing I find for, like, clients who are looking at strata properties, is getting them, making them aware of, like, what makes a strata the way that it is. Mm-hmm. You know, that one is, like, a separate portion of education. Because you're like, hey, you're gonna look at these, like, hundreds of pages of documents, and they probably won't make any sense to you. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give you some, and we'll provide some context while we're doing our education tours. And then they'll go, oh, okay. Cause, like, think about how many depreciation reports you've looked at. Mm-hmm. And if you got one for the first time and they were like, hey, okay, you're gonna buy this place, you know, and you just looked at it and you're gonna be like, okay. What? And you see a depreciation report and it says, yeah, in 2050, you're going to be spending $7 million,
Yes, it's
it's scary
concerning.
stuff,
Yes,
right?
very
But if
scary
you,
stuff.
like there's just a way to do it, right? So education awareness is like a great tool to employ in the process. And then people feel comfortable, you give them time, you give them something to do, right? And then they've got something tangible to work with.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, which is, especially when it comes to a mortgage, is there's a few parts to it, but there's two main parts. There's you, your income, your credit, everything to do with you, your down, like how much money you have on hand. And then there's the property. And we can always, I can fully get like vet and underwrite and approve you, right? The actual home buyer. But that property is always the question. What is the property? Like, is there a concern with the strata? Is there anything that needs to be done in terms of improvements to the property? Does the property appraise less than the purchase price, or does the inspection come back questionable? All these different things, which are things that we want to build in and add to the process to protect our clients. But that's where it's like different, like separated to and say, yes, you're fully approved. But then there's the collateral piece, which is the home itself. And that's where, when it comes to especially strata properties, is doing that up front. Because it's ha if we can get those strata documents early and look at the Form B and look if there's any things that come up or of a red flag, or even do a call into one of the mortgage insurers or lenders and figure out, hey, have you flagged this property at all? Is this okay? Right? And do upfront work. It's just everything to avoid problems. How can we avoid issues once we get very serious on a specific property itself, right? So, yeah, very good. I love it. Andrew, very good advice. I appreciate it. I know we've, I think that we hit some very important things in terms of advice and guidance. Any final words? What's the best place people can, find you or get a hold of you? Phone, email, website? What would the best place to be?
Oh, geez. Yeah, I guess I got to do a little plug here. That's my weak points is personal promotion. Yeah, I don't have a website. I rely on our office. So we're islandrealm.com and Island Realm Real Estate. We were formerly the condo group. So myself and some of my colleagues there were just absolute experts at in condo transactions. So we're really, really the number one brokerage to call for strata type properties. We also do a lot of new development. So I have a great repertoire and like my level of involvement in new developments has been like well above the average realtors. So new developments and condos, have been the mainstay for me for a long time. So I don't have my own website. We've just been doing everything through the brokerage, Island Realm Real Estate. Islandrealm.com is the place to go. But yeah, I don't do social media, and I sort of like very old-fashioned type of person. So it's kind of like I like to be on the phone with people all the time, and then emails as well. So if one of your listeners is ready to rock and roll, my email address is andrewhr@islandrealm.com. But reach out to islandrealm.com. We've got a really great website. There's lots of really great information in there. You can't go wrong with any of us at the office there. We're like a boutique brokerage, and we serve Victoria very well and have for like a really long time.
Fantastic. I will include all the links and everything in the description and in the show notes. But I'm a big fan. I think we'll have to talk a lot about the disdain for social media, which I also have. I don't know if it's a disdain, but my lack of presence on social media, I guess, which I don't think is a bad thing in this world. But thank you very much, Andrew. I really
You're
appreciate
very welcome.
your.
Nothing disparaging to those who exist on the social media platform. I should be like living in the 1970s right now. It's just my mentality is that way. So I just can't connect with it. I tried, but I just can't. It doesn't feel natural. I still look at it. It's just a funny thing. It's like babies, cats, puppies,
Yes.
people crashing into stuff.
I
That's
find,
what's
yeah, I
that's
find
the
for
best part of the
myself
internet.
it's more time. And it's like, well, I need, we have the kids. We want to spend lots of time with the kids. We have lots of sports activities. actually working on deals and talking to clients and giving service, and it's just allocating enough. It's just I don't want to get sucked up from the quality time, and I think that can sometimes 100%. Get in the way. So no, that's great. And again, thank you very much. Really appreciate
thanks
it.
So much, Matt. It was like really great chatting with you, and look forward to chatting with you soon.
Wonderful. Thanks, Andrew.
Okay. Cheers, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the House Rich Podcast with Matt Parker. We hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information and resources to get you started on your homeownership journey, visit www.mattparker.ca. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast. Thanks again for listening.